Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Today in studio, I am joined by James Conaway and Lorena Conaway, and they own a business that helps people with money strategize about how to make it, how to keep it, and how to avoid taxes. And I got to tell you, I had a fascinating breakfast with you guys, and I realized that, boy, are there some gaps in what I don't know. And I would imagine, and I was looking at the list of services, and you go down wealth building, wealth protection, or preservation, et cetera. You know, you don't need a lot of those steps if you don't have anything. And I think you're really concentrating on getting the stuff first, and then it would seem like there would be a natural gap in what you don't know. And I'm sure you find that out, that most people got good at getting something, and then they go, okay, I don't have it under the right hat, or I don't know when I'm supposed to sell it. So it's got to be quite an educational process.
Yes, it is. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having us as your guest today.
My
and we really enjoyed our breakfast with you as well. Very enlightening to hear about your business and what you're doing, and got to really get to know you and your son a little bit better. So we enjoyed having your son there too.
Well, you know, we've been in the business now ourselves for 30 years and a lot of momentum.
Yeah.
You know, it just starts after, I don't know, 15 years or so, all of a sudden it starts kicking into gear. And I think a lot of our clients have been pretty wise in accumulating assets. But I talk to these guys on a regular basis, and there's a lot of the tricks of the trade that you guys know I don't even think we've heard of. And a lot of that you don't necessarily think you need right away, but you know, life can surprise you, and you can have things come up that you had should have planned well in advance. And so I'm just curious, the clientele that you have, are they surprised by the things that they don't know?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I don't know how many times we have people say, I didn't know that. How come I never heard of that? And many times they say, why is that? So we have to go through and prove where we're getting the information from, which is great because we, in all of the cases, we collaborate very tightly, very closely with their tax advisor, with the attorney, with the appropriate people. And I'll just give you one quick example. We met a couple who the husband was working at a job, and he was a W-2 person, and the wife was managing the property. They had four rental properties, and for years and years and years, they never heard of professional real estate status.
And they didn't know they were.
They didn't know they were.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's Jim. And so what happened is that, you know, what is professional real estate status? Well, just a few highlights is that it's 750 hours of your time. More than 50% of your time is
earning time.
Earning time, and you have to have material participation. And
feet on the street.
And what happens is that if you qualify, you get unlimited depreciation against all income.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we introduced them to that strategy, we contacted their tax advisor, and sure enough, they qualified. And it translated to over $1,000 per month more cash flow in their pocket.
Now, their results are shall we say, not necessarily indicative of everybody's results, because, of course, I'm Mr. Disclosure.
That's funny. Well, you know, one thing that you can do is if you have a loss on a property, which there have been a fair amount of people that invested in something that they wish they hadn't, but if you have that designation, then when you sell it, then you have a write-off against current profits. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And that's a very big deal. If you didn't have that designation, you'd be taking that over a course of a very
long
time.
You'd have suspended losses.
And you wouldn't enjoy the write-off.
Those are suspenders we don't want to wear.
No, that's true. Now, your clientele that has built wealth, one of the things I asked you at breakfast, and I expected a different answer, was how's the mood of your clientele? And you came across with an answer I wasn't expecting because, you know, we're a week away from the average change of the Dow is basically 400 points a day now, one way or the other, which doesn't lend itself to a peaceful life, and yet you said your clients are fine, but there's a basic reason. Their mix of ownership is a lot different than most people's.
Yes, because we are business owners. We are real estate investors for the last 17 and a half years. And so are a lot of our clients, is they take a lot of risk in their business and in real estate. And so we handle their portfolio in a very conservative manner. And a lot of people don't know what they don't know. And they don't know that you can have investments that are in the stock market and have either a guaranteed income or a guaranteed principal or even insure. You can even insure a percentage of your portfolio. And so when we tell people, they're like, wow, I never heard of that.
Mm-hmm. And I think we also have to understand that when we're dealing with our clients, we spend an inordinate amount of time getting to know them and their personal situation so that we make sure that whatever recommendations are appropriate for them and their taste and level for comfort.
And that was one of the things that I wanted to just touch on, and you just talked about. 2006, 7, and 8 were not pleasant times for your clientele. I mean, if you had real estate investors, I would imagine some of them got blindsided and took losses.
No.
And
right.
When you have a mood shift, I mean, honestly, a lot of people just thought that could never happen. And then all of a sudden they go from being what they considered wealthy and done to, oh my goodness, you know, I have to resurrect this whole thing. That mood, unfortunately, sometimes makes overreactions or inappropriate responses. And one of the things, my least favorite comment when I'm speaking is, it was during that cycle, people come up and say, I just lost $1 million. I have to find a way to get it back like tomorrow. And you're going, that's a formula to say goodbye to the rest of your stuff.
Absolutely. Oh, sure. I mean, it's like we have to understand that chasing returns, which is what you're talking about, it can be the most devastating risk-taking activity that anybody can have in their portfolio. You see it in real estate. We see it in everything else. And it's horrifying to watch people take way more risk than what they're really comfortable with to attempt to win back what the market has taken away from them or what the real estate has taken away from them or whatever it is.
And we really were spoiled. Real estate doesn't normally do what it did between 03, 04, 05. I mean, it doesn't gyrate $100,000 per house. And, you know, you really think I'm a real estate genius here. Everything I touch is turning to gold. And then what's happening now is you don't really have that capital gain likely to reoccur at that speed again. I don't know what the asset, maybe you have gold or something, but it's not the one they're familiar with. This is going to be a much
right.
longer term project to get the wealth back. And I don't know if people are ready to be patient yet.
You know, what's interesting, you talk about mood. And when I hear the word mood, it makes me think of my mood in 08, my mood today as being a real estate investor, and several of the people I spoke with. I remember speaking to a woman in Northern California who's very sophisticated, a longtime real estate investor, and her mood was, she goes, I literally could not work for like 2 days. I laid on my bed and I cried for 2 days. And her mood today is in 2011, I can't get into real estate yet.
It affected her that much.
It affected her that much. And then yet we have the opposite where the mood is like, wow, I lost $1 million, like you said, Bruce, and I need to make that back. And so what is the fast path, the fast track on making that back? And what are the lessons learned? And so what we do is we talk about, take a look at what the lessons are learned so that we don't make those mistakes again. And then create a sequential plan to how that money is going to be made back in a much better way.
That's what we call strategic planning. Now, again, I'm Mr. Disclosure. Securities through Conaway & Conaway Securities are offered through J.P. Turner & Company, LLC, member of SIPC. Financial planning and investment advisory services offered through J.P. Turner & Company Capital Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor. J.P. Turner & Company, LLC, and J.P. Turner & Company Capital Management, LLC, are not affiliated with Conaway & Conaway or Bruce Norris. Otherwise, you'd have to be saying this every day.
And, you know, that's a first. So you guys have a designation that no one else ever has had on the radio show. But,
you know, when you're talking about performance, when you were talking about mood shift,
yeah.
For me, I was thinking about that because there really has been a shift in how our clients and the people that we talk to are behaving. And I think it really comes down to that they've gone from a performance mentality to a cash flow mentality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't care what I earn. I care what I see showing up in the mailbox.
And well, and by the way, wouldn't that be almost the hardest? This is a tough time. You have $1 million and you don't want to risk principal. You know, the scope of products most people know are, okay, it's 10-year T-bill pays 2.1. Or I run into the stock market and went down 400 points yesterday and I had $1 million, but now I have 950. I mean, this is scary times for people that have just a standard product type in front of them.
You know, it's interesting you should say that because our company slogan was developed by interviewing our clients. And two words kept coming up over and over and over again. So the company slogan was changed to build wealth with clarity and confidence. And those two words were just what people have so ardently sought. Then that's why the strategies just make such a huge difference in their lives.
I think when you have confidence, it really comes down to you have some measure of control. And that's why the product types that I choose to invest in are things that I have personal knowledge of. And I kind of know how to get out of it if it turns out lousy. You guys don't know the story, but in 2000, I invested $260,000 in penny stocks after making myself an expert in 10 days. I studied all kinds of penny stocks, and it just happened to be the right 45-day period, and I turned it into $800,000. And as being a teacher, well, I didn't sell it. There's an end to the story. It isn't pleasant.
I was going to go, wow.
But what I did is I made every classic mistake you could make as far as thinking I am Mr. Stock Picker. And what I had done was I had followed the mood of the crowd and said, okay, well, I've got to throw investment money at stocks. I had a bunch of real estate. That was fine. But it was I had enough of that. So I didn't sell at 800. I sold at 100. So I lost $150,000, and it only took 60 more days. But it was the best thing that ever happened to me because I went back to a control piece that I was familiar with. Now, there can be experts in other things, but that's one of the things I really think that most people don't do, especially if they're on this horse of saying, I have to go aggressively and get some super return. They're really likely to make a very aggressive mistake in a product they don't understand.
Wow, yeah, no such doubt. such a powerful point, and I love hearing your story. And that's something that we see, I would say, probably at least weekly, we come across a situation where somebody did some research, said, wow, I could really make a great amount of money, bought an asset, and it didn't go the way they thought. So one of the things that we talk about is how much money is the right amount of money to put in a strategy like penny stock, real estate, and so forth.
Yeah. What is your overall strategy around that tactic, the mm-hmm. tactic of picking a particular asset class? See, one of the things that we love about what you do in the real estate is you teach people the tools so that they can then choose for themselves their own strategy, mm-hmm. their own tactic, their own entry point, exit point, holding costs, holding time period, the whole nine yards.
What's interesting about this product type is, and this is why I like charts, is mood would dictate that you don't do real estate right now because every article you read is mm-hmm. about real estate going down. The ownership mm-hmm. of it is really to be shunned. You're better off renting. And see, I'm a contrarian investor, and I use charts so I don't have to make emotional decisions. So when I look at a market like this, and I'm thinking, okay, this is so ridiculous that on the front cover of Time magazine, they literally tell people that it's probably you really need to rethink home ownership. Home ownership is locking in a guaranteed monthly payment at this point at 4% interest.
Hello.
30 yes. years. So, or the equivalent would be, can you negotiate a 30-year fixed rent with your landlord? Honest to goodness.
That's called Santa Monica.
But you know what I'm saying? In other words, if you can't see the benefit of owning right now, it is completely a mood decision. And in investing, it's really helped me to have charts to where I look at those and go, I don't care how anyone else feels about what I'm about to do. Mm-hmm. I know this is correct. And that included selling 100 pieces of properties in 05-06. The mood was euphoric. When mm-hmm. I got in front of the builders during that time frame and debated one of the economists mm-hmm. about, if I was a builder right now, I'd sell every house, every project, every lot, because you'll buy them back for 5 cents on the dollar.
And that was in 05?
05, 06. Mm-hmm. I debated both times, 05. Yeah. The mood, of course, was, well, wait a minute. Right now, we're kicking butt and taking no prisoners, but builders have projects that last for years. And so that mood is very either beneficial if you realize that you have the tools to be a contrarian and go, you've overreacted. You forgot real estate could ever be great. As a matter of fact, what's interesting about the cycle that we're going through is that the assumption had been that when someone lost a home, they would become a renter. Well, that hasn't happened. People become sometimes a non-household. So you really have a reduction of household entities. They're moving in with mom and dad. They're living three pieces of family together. Well, we're going to get through this cycle. And those people will not like that arrangement for very long. They will reemerge as a household and be demand somewhere down the road. Exactly at the point where somebody that takes the risk and is a contrarian in, say, 2011, 2012 will go, these people are going to reemerge and want to own their own place again.
Yes, yeah. And that's such a strong point that you're saying, because we absolutely believe that now is the time. Now is the time to own real estate and take advantage of these low interest rates. And some of the questions that
this is a personal opinion. Remember, I'm Mr. Disclosure over here.
Okay, well, statistically speaking, I agree with you, Bruce. And one of the things that people ask us is, okay, I short sold a home or I foreclosed, so I don't have the credit. So, mm-hmm. Bruce, I love what you're saying, but I can't, how am I going to do that? And one of the things that we talk about is, you know, when you pick up the paper, the Penny Saver, the local paper, you see that people are willing to do rent to own. So you could lock in the price in today. You may not get that 4% interest, but Wall Street Journal said what? The interest rates were going to stay low to 2013?
Yeah, that's an interesting comment, I thought.
Yeah, I thought so too. And so here, there's an opportunity to do a rent to own where you're building up your down payment. There's an I see in the paper where people are willing to do seller financing. Mm-hmm. Seller financing. So doing seller financing, there is ways to have ownership, even if you didn't
do that. What about the couple that you talked with last week? They were talking about how they're selling the houses and carrying notes for people.
There's some of that they do. They're buying and holding some of them, and they do buy sell as well, and they rent property. So that's not necessarily something that they go in immediately with that strategy. They may give them an option, or actually they give them, and it's a technical term that doesn't create a taxable event, called an option to purchase, and it's not a lease option anyway. It's a technicality. One of the things I want to kind of just reiterate what you said is that the decisions that investors are making now go back to that cash flow instead of mm-hmm. capital gains thought, because it really needs to go there, because you don't really know how long a hold period is going to be. So you have to be happy the whole journey. And fortunately, we've been handed this ridiculous market in where a lot of properties in counties that I'm close to, Riverside and San Bernardino, are on sale for such a price that they make sense as rentals. And California is not really known for that. That's why you have people run into other states. And I'm thinking, no, you just have to run over to, you know, over here. And it's great. And it makes sense because California has the history of aggressive price when it's our turn, because we get migration of people, we get excess demand. And so that'll probably replay itself in some form again, where I don't know that you're going to get that in South Dakota or Detroit or wherever you're thinking.
I love the fact of having positive cash flow in our backyard.
Positive cash flow.
Yes, in our backyard, and having appreciation, because there are many states out there that do provide positive cash flow, but
No history of that.
No history of appreciation.
A lot of the states, and this is going back to the study that I've done, is they don't create their own headwind. California mm-hmm. creates their own headwind and then affects places around it. So when California explodes, what ends up happening is there's lots of extra money, and people all of a sudden send up some of that money over to Nevada, Arizona, and so you can get there early and follow the progression, but it happened because of California's growth, not because Phoenix grew by itself. That's one of the things that you find as an investor. There's this trail that if you could literally go, okay, while we're booming in California, I'll go option Phoenix dirt. Perfectly sensible, because that'll be next.
You know, what's so interesting is that we went to Phoenix, and it was almost like I didn't even want to say the C word, California.
Yeah, they're very excited to see it show up, because nothing's expensive.
Exactly.
they think that that's how you spell stupid.
Well, we went on trips with a group to Texas, and that's the first thing in the classes. Leave your California brain at home. This is not the same environment, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're only going to have a few more minutes, but there's one tool, and there's a designation that you guys have, a CSPG. Can you explain to me what that is, and that little tool called Charitable Remainder Trust in the last few minutes that we've got?
Sure.
And at the end of that, make sure that you give your website, because I'm
Absolutely.
Fascinated by what you guys know.
Well, thank you.
Certified specialist in planned giving. That means that Lorraine and I have actually taken a long course with Cal State Long Beach and have been certified to do charitable planning. And what you mentioned is called a charitable remainder trust. That is the simplest form of a split interest trust. That is the simplest form of saying, I'm going to own part of it, and part of it I'm going to do something charitable with. And what normally happens is people will transfer a property into a CRT.
Quick claim.
And then sell the property. This trust is tax exempt.
Okay.
So it pays no tax.
Right.
So now the money.
But you have liquidity.
Yes.
Okay.
Now you have a liquidity event inside the trust, and you can reinvest it. And the advantage of it is now you're reinvesting 100% of the proceeds instead of 75% of the proceeds, or whatever your tax burden is.
Right.
Now, the income can be turned on for one life, two lifetimes, a period certain, a lifetime and period certain. So in other words, if Lorraine and I were old enough, and thankfully my bride doesn't even look close enough to consider it, but if we were old enough, we might be able to have a lifetime income guaranteed for us and then 20 years for our children.
Wow.
Now, another thing that you can do with this type of trust is you can design it to have the income turn on, turn off, turn up, turn down. Literally, it does not have to just simply roll as income. That part is called a net income makeup provision. So now we get a thing called, are you ready?
I'm ready.
NIMCRUT.
NIMCRUT. Okay.
Yes. How much crut could a NIMCRUT crut if a NIMCRUT could cut crut?
Oh, gosh.
That is a net income makeup charitable remainder unitrust, meaning that it's designed around what it's worth, and as it earns money, if it doesn't pay it out, it owes it to the person who set it up.
Okay.
So one of the things that I wanted to say quickly about that is that, as you can hear, there are ways to customize that trust so that you can have the income on, off, you can have the income fixed, variable, you can have it set for a number of years or a lifetime. So it really is customized to the person's needs. And I just want to make sure I had time to say our website. It
Please.
Is www.conawayandconaway.com. That's C-O-N-A-W-A-Y.
C-O-N-A-W-A-Y with
and.
An A-N-D in between.
And. So conawayandconaway.com. Thank you.
I'm just curious, do you guys hold any educational events? I mean, do you?
Lots.
Okay.
Many. Yes.
I think that would be real important, because on the list of services, the group that I'm familiar with has gotten really good at producing assets and wealth. And we're a little shy on the last two categories of maybe how to protect it for lawsuits and also how to protect it for a lifetime in our heirs. Thank you guys so much for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome.
A lot of fun, but yes. I knew it was going to happen. It was going to go too fast. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.